Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, January 9th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. You need to start looking soon if you want to give your child the best summer camp experience. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, wildfires continue to rage around Los Angeles. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Andrew Friedman, senior climate reporter for Axios in Washington, D.C. Andrew, thank you for joining us today. And these fires in and around Los Angeles, no matter, some of them are under control, some are still burning out of control. But one thing is certain, Andrew, and that is this is going to be a multi-billion dollar disaster by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's absolutely for certain. It's a little bit speculative as to figure out to guess exactly how much, because we frankly do not know how many homes, how many businesses were damaged or destroyed at this point. The LA authorities are saying in the thousands. Yesterday, it was around 1,000 or so in one particular fire. But there were two particularly destructive fires, the Eaton Fire and the Palisades Fire, which each may have destroyed well over 1,000 homes. So it's conceivable that it's pretty much a sure bet this will be one of the top five most expensive wildfire disasters in U.S. history. Whether it's the top one or not is a little bit up in the air right now.
Five fires confirmed so far. And I think what we have seen, Andrew, not only when a hurricane hits the Gulf Coast or when we saw the stories coming out of Asheville, North Carolina, in the wake of Hurricane Helene, the severe flooding that took place in North Carolina just a couple of months ago, that once the flames end, this is the beginning of a long and maybe years-long process of rebuilding for people who lost their homes in these fires. And one of the issues that's coming out is that some of these fire insurance policies may have been canceled and that the damage won't be covered.
You know, the insurance issue is quite complex in California. There's been some reforms that have been put in place very recently to try to lure private insurers back into the market because they had fled due to wildfire risk. And now they are permitted to use risk models that take into account climate change to then offer what is likely more expensive homeowners insurance. There's also a state plan. However, the question is whether that state plan will be overburdened by the costs as well as how many people here, just like in Helene, people lacked flood insurance. How many people here lacked fire insurance or had fire insurance that had significant asterisks or loopholes in it, and it's not going to really cover the replacement cost of their home. Keep in mind, a lot of these homes, particularly in the Palisades, were very expensive. They were high-end homes, $1 million or more. So we're really talking about a very significant and long-running cleanup and rebuilding process. You're absolutely right.
Andrew Friedman, senior climate reporter for Axios in Washington, D.C., thank you for joining us today. Coming up, research should be getting underway immediately as you look for the best summer camp for your kid.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
If you're considering sending a kid to summer camp, you need to start looking and registering right now. Let's get some insight from Colette Marcourt, Camp's CEO and Executive Director of the American Camp Association, Illinois, in Chicago. Colette, thank you for joining us today. And this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart because I have three little girls at home, and we're already having the summer camp discussion. We're talking about how can we schedule things around their camp experiences in June and July, and we're not even in mid-January yet.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. Yes, now is the time to start thinking about summer if you haven't already. Because spots will fill, and trying to find the perfect camp for your child or multiple camps takes time and attention, and there are so many options out there for you.
Now, and you are absolutely correct. I mean, just the sheer number of summer camp options that exist for your kids that can basically fit any interest and any passion they may have, from generic day camps to sports camps to activity camps to theater camp to garden camp. There's a whole lot of just so many options out there. So where do you begin if you really are just trying to find a place for your kids this summer, but you don't necessarily know what would pique their interest?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would recommend checking out findacamp.org, which is a national database. It includes everything from local here to the Chicagoland area, all across the country. And you can filter it by age, gender, interest, location, day versus overnight, accredited versus non-accredited. So that's a great place to start because it can help kind of narrow down to some specific options.
And when you say the camps fill up quickly, just kind of give us the sense of urgency here, because you might be listening to this segment and you're going to say, well, you know, it's January and some of these camps are in June and July, and we don't necessarily know what our summer vacation plans are quite yet. So even though sooner rather than later is a good rule of thumb, but when does crunch time really begin for some of these summer camps as far as enrollment is concerned?
It's really going to depend on when they open registration. So some camps already have registration open for the summer, and most of our camps in Illinois will open registration in February and March. So I definitely think now is the time in January to look at all the options so that you can make some decisions for when registration opens. How fast they fill also depends on how big the camp is. Some camps are larger than others. And so if you're looking at a camp that has many different sites, maybe a park district day camp or a local day camp that has many different locations, you might have more options registering later. However, another camp where you want a very specific activity or a very specific location or set of dates, I recommend looking up when registration opens for camp and trying to register as soon and or as close to those dates as possible, just to be sure that you get the preferred dates or location or activity that you want.
We're talking about summer camps with Colette Marcourt, Camp's CEO and Executive Director of the American Camp Association, Illinois in Chicago. That's because we're not even at mid-January yet, but if you want to sign up your kids for a summer camp in June or July, they fill up quickly. Now, we talk about some of the basic qualifications. What are their interests, proximity to your home, whether or not the camp experience fits inside your budget. Is it a day camp? Is it a sleepaway camp? But that just scratches the surface in terms of some of the things you need to look for as a parent when you evaluate a camp. And some of those include staff, accessibility to medical care, supervision ratios. What do you do in an emergency? I mean, what if your kids are at a camp somewhere out in Illinois and there is a severe thunderstorm or tornado? What do they do? How do you research those qualifications?
So there's a couple of different ways you can do that. The first is obviously you could look at their website. A lot of camps will have that information on the website. And I think that that is a huge green flag when a camp talks about their staff to camper ratios and how they keep campers safe on the website, very transparent, where any potential families can see that ahead of time. The other thing you can look for is if the camp is accredited through the American Camp Association. It's the only peer-reviewed national accreditation program for camp. And what it means is that camps have elected by choice to follow 200-plus industry standards that exceed local regulations for running summer camp. Things around aquatic safeties, lifeguard requirements for aquatic programs, medical and health risk management and safety, staff ratios. And so when you get an accredited camp, you know all of those things are already covered. And in Illinois, only about one in every five camps is accredited. So it is also a way to kind of see, okay, yep, this camp is gonna meet all of this because we've gone in, we've looked at it, we've reviewed it. And then the other way you can do it is check out to see if they've got open houses or Q&A sessions to hear about the camp. And I'm always telling families to call a camp and ask all of the questions. Ask about the values, the mission, how they're going to keep your child safe, especially if your child has any specific or special needs or health related needs that you are worried about. Call and ask them. They should be prepared and are ready to answer those questions for you.
Colette Marquardt, Camps CEO and Executive Director of the American Camp Association Illinois in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, downtown Chicago continues its comeback from the COVID crisis.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Downtown Chicago experienced a bustling holiday season with packed stores and restaurants signaling a strong comeback from the pandemic. We welcome Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. Michael, thank you for joining us today. And when someone tells you, when someone complains about the crowds on the sidewalks in downtown Chicago, oh, geez, I had to dodge all these tourists trying to get from here to there. Is that music to your ears?
It is absolutely music to my ears. Full parking garages, full trains, and crowded sidewalks are what Christmas is all about in downtown Chicago.
And when it comes to actual person counts, how did 2024 stack up to previous post-COVID shutdown Christmases?
Great. So we have we're just releasing our fourth quarter report, which includes October through December. But our impressions on our pedestrian counts on State Street are at 88% of pre-pandemic levels, which is 10% higher than they were last year. So we're continuing our momentum of getting people back downtown.
And then when we talk about State Street is still that great street, I guess, as far as pedestrians are concerned. But what about North Michigan Avenue? A lot of ink has been spilled and discussion has been had about how to get North Michigan Avenue back on its feet. And even in its diminished state, it seems like people still are attracted to the Magnificent Mile.
They are. Well, it's a great location. You know, it's an iconic street across the country, around the world, really. And State Street is also an important street. And we're seeing retail investment coming back, a little bit different form than before, different kinds of stores. We're pleased to announce that the Gap Factory will be opening on State Street. And an iconic store in downtown Chicago, Reckless Records, is actually moving to Wabash to a much larger location with the increased popularity of album sales.
And then how big of a magnet is the Chris Kindle market in Daly Plaza? Because it's so popular now. I'm sure you've seen the chatter online as well, but maybe is it a good idea to start having the discussion about moving it out of Daly Plaza and into a much larger location, possibly closing a street just because the Chris Kindle market is just so popular year after year?
Yeah, they had an 8% increase in their visitation, and we heard a lot of that. That people, it's just such a wonderful event. You know, over 1.4 million people came down to that location. We would love to talk with Chris Kindle Market, and we've had some preliminary conversations years ago before the pandemic about really closing Washington Street between Daly Plaza and the tree lighting and making that just a festive street for the entire six-week holiday season.
That would be a very interesting concept. Michael Edwards, president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, a look at the takeaways from this year's Consumer Electronics Show.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Former President Jimmy Carter is honored during a state funeral in Washington, D.C. Crews in California work to get wind-whipped wildfires under control. It's Technology Thursday. We'll focus on some of the most interesting devices and gadgets at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. It may be a little less expensive to take an international flight this year, but that's likely not the case domestically. We'll preview airfares for 2025. WBBM Sports, Notre Dame battles Penn State in the college football playoff semifinal. Our coverage begins at 5:30 on 780 AM. News continues nonstop on 105.9 FM. Business, the markets are closed for the Jimmy Carter National Day of Mourning. AccuWeather says for the rest of today, more sun than clouds, remaining cold. A high today of 29. We have 27 degrees right now under mostly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, the state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter has taken place at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Stephen Ford delivered a eulogy written by his father, the late former President Gerald Ford.
During our 1976 contest, Jimmy knew my political vulnerabilities, and he successfully pointed them out. Now, I didn't like it, but little could I know that the outcome of that 1976 election would bring about one of my deepest and most enduring friendships.
All five living American presidents attended the service for Carter at the National Cathedral. Crews are battling to control multiple major fires in the Los Angeles area. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports from Pasadena.
Sam John watched as his neighborhood went up in flames.
This is why they call it an act of God. There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can do.
He says he knows his home could be next.
How much hope do you have that this all misses your home?
Little to none. If it does, great. If it doesn't, we got out alive. Our neighbors got out alive.
At least five people have been killed in the current California wildfires. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Financial markets are closed today as Wall Street observes a national day of mourning for former President Jimmy Carter. This pause offers an opportunity to reflect on market trends shaping 2025. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. It's January 9th, JJ, which means we've only had a handful of trading days. And from this small sample size, JJ, let's make some sweeping conclusions about the rest of this year. It seems like one trend, though, that is making itself very apparent, and it's carrying over from last year, and that is this run-up we're seeing in the 10-year yield. The bond market is open today. The 10-year yield still clocking in at about 4.6%, which wipes out essentially all those rate cuts we got from the Fed starting in September.
Yeah, it's really been pretty amazing, Rob. Since the last rate cut, we've done nothing but have yields actually go higher, and so which is quite the opposite of what you would normally expect. To your point, we're seeing it not only in the U.S., but it's happening. You know, in the U.K., it's really been wild over the last few weeks. In the U.S., just to put it in perspective for people, we're at rate yields we haven't seen since last April. In the U.K., we're at multi-year rate levels that we haven't seen. So what does that tell you? That there is still a lot of nervousness about inflation out there. And as you said, some of the products that were open today, one of them being crude oil, which just continues to slowly but surely creep higher. And there's no faster way to have people feel the effects of inflation than the price of gasoline and filling their cars go higher. So that's one area I really want to keep my eye on overall. The other thing that is happening, I guess, that's a benefit, you know, so we'll put it in a beneficial perspective for people, and that is the buying power of the U.S. dollar also continues to go higher. So goods relatively that are coming in from overseas, it's, if the inflationary pressure doesn't continue too high, should be cheaper.
What are some of the issues that are kind of driving the 10-year yield to these levels we have not seen in nearly a year? Why are people running into the bond market?
Well, I think part of it being bond market is a place where people, so that people understand, usually you run into buy bonds when you feel that there is something that you want safety for. So you got to remember, again, I know many people know, but for those who don't, as price of bonds go higher, yields go lower and vice versa. So when we see yields steepening, as you're talking about, that means people are actually selling bonds. Part of it being because the returns on the stock market have been so crazy the last couple of years. And I think a lot of people have reallocated resources and said, you know, if you look at the NVIDIAs and Apples, et cetera, of the world, it's really difficult to say that I shouldn't have more of my portfolio in there, given the tremendous returns we've seen, 20%+ over the last 2 years in a row. Obviously, that's not to say that can't continue. I think that that's one of the primary reasons we are seeing it. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there still is a fear of inflation. Yes, it's come down pretty good. But if you think about the tariffs that the new administration is talking about, that could make the price of things much higher. So I think that until we have a clear picture of what President Trump and his cabinet want to do in terms of tariffs, in terms of where their emphasis is going to be, I think that we're going to continue to see nervousness throughout, particularly the bond market. And with that, the stock market, as you said, we're 9 days in, so let's make sweeping conclusions. I think one of the conclusions I would say, at least for most of January, is we're going to continue to see a volatile stock market.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the big hits at this year's Consumer Electronics Show.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, CES, the world's most powerful tech event taking place in Las Vegas this week. It used to take place in Chicago at McCormick Place. It's showcasing the technologies and gadgets that will soon be available to you. You joining us now to discuss is Carl Prouty, the technologist at Apt Electronics in Glenview. Carl, thank you for joining us today. And what were some of the products, the gadgets that jumped out at you at CES?
Boy, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of what they're doing now is more talking about experiences too. So, like LG, for example, they have their AI, but they're calling it affectionate intelligence because it's designed to help you throughout your day. So they had a setup where you could be sitting watching TV, and then if you got up and the system recognized you were getting up to go over to your computer to play video games, it would lower the shades, it would turn down the lights, turn up ambient lighting, turn on your air purifier, turn on your humidifier to give you what they say is an optimal gaming environment. So we saw some cool stuff from them with that. TCL has a 115-inch mini QLED TV on display. We actually have that one at our store, so if somebody wanted to see a little bit of CES at home, they can go into Apt and see it there too. But just this massive picture, super, super bright image, great colors. So we saw stuff like that. Their Segway, who people might know best for their electric scooters and their hoverboards and things, Segway actually had a robotic lawnmower that can do up to 2.5 acres. So where you, they've had robotic lawnmowers before, but in the past they've been limited to maybe 1/4 of an acre. So a decent size yard, but for those people who have big yards or big areas that they're trying to keep maintained really easily, Segway's got something there that that really makes it easy and fun. And then we also saw Lenovo. I thought this was probably, this was my favorite one to see, but Lenovo has a computer that you open it up, it's a 14-inch monitor, and you push a button, and it actually increases the size of the monitor by another little more than 2.5 inches. So it extends vertically using a rollable OLED screen. And it just gives you more real estate. So it's great for people who are on the go for business and they need a little bit more screen size to work with, but they don't want to bring a second monitor with them. It's a just a super innovative product. And we're actually going to see that one. They said 1/4 of 2025. So it should be coming out pretty soon.
And all the stuff that we're talking about, Carl, you can find it on the Apt Electronics YouTube page, and you can see this for yourself. The amazing thing to me, we talk about the 115-inch state-of-the-art TV, the world's largest LED TV. You can turn your living room into a home theater. Is that, I don't know if you found this story, Carl, but I fell down the rabbit hole of this particular tale over the course of the holiday break when I was off. And this was the story of the world's largest cathode ray tube television, the old tube TV. This thing weighed like 400 pounds. It's in Japan. It's been in this restaurant for 30 years because you can't move it. This retailed in the 80s for $100,000 in today's money, and it was a 45-inch TV. And now we're talking about TVs that are 115 inches, and at 20 grand, it's a fraction of what the world's largest CRT TV costs. So it's amazing the leaps and bounds we have experienced in television technology over the past 20 years when the first flat screen HD TVs were introduced.
Oh, yeah. And there was even, so there's a company called Valerian that we saw, and they sell these, it's a little, I shouldn't say little, but it's a relatively small projector, and you can get up to a 220 inch picture on your wall. And we got to see a demo of it. It is absolutely stunning. It uses laser instead of traditional LCD or LED, and it looked incredible. So it's such a fun show to be at. I'm glad we're able to kind of bring stuff to our shoppers and to our listeners and everything. I'm glad we're able to help them experience it too.
It's also amazing that LED has become the standard in high-def TV, because 20 years ago, you could like plasma, that was top of the line, and then you had DLP, the light projection system, and then a lot of the video heads really thought that LED was kind of the lowest rung of HD TV technology, but LED won that particular war.
I think it's only going to get better because they're figuring out ways to make the individual LED lights smaller and smaller. And that's actually, it's a huge benefit because once you make them small enough, you can turn them on and off individually. So that's going to not only give you better colors, but it's going to give you, more importantly, better black levels. And that makes the overall picture that much better. You're going to see more detail in the shadows, more detail in the bright areas. So it's really, it's exciting to see where they're taking this technology.
Carl Prouty, the technologist at Apt Electronics in Glenview, with his assessment of the coolest stuff at CES in Las Vegas. And, of course, you can find out about the tech we've talked about on the Apt Electronics YouTube page. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a look at airfares as we move into the new year.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
International airfares are dropping in the new year while domestic fares are rising. Let's take a closer look with Haley Berg, lead economist at Hopper in New York. Haley, thank you for joining us today. What are the trends that are showing up in airfares for 2025? We say international airfares are dropping. Is that across the board, or is it to particular destinations?
Any long-haul international destination, we're seeing airfares anywhere from 4% to 11% lower than they were last year. So that's Europe, South America, Asia, even Australia and Fiji and New Zealand. So if you're thinking about one of those more bucket list long haul trips, this is the year to do it. This is the lowest some of the prices have been since 2019.
And then on the domestic side of the equation, it sounds like ticket prices to destinations inside the United States are on the rise. Is that a function of demand or is it a sign of caution on the part of the airlines?
We're still seeing strong demand for domestic trips, but airlines have really pulled back on capacity growth. They're still adding more flights and seats, but at a much slower rate than they were last summer when the market was really flooded. I see these prices a little bit higher than last year headed into 2025 as more of a rebalancing. We're still trying to rebalance capacity coming out of the pandemic. We over-indexed, put too many seats out there. Prices were very low last year, and now the pendulum is swinging in the other direction.
And it also sounds on the domestic side as well that the well-publicized aircraft production delays are showing up in the fares that you pay.
Definitely. When we see supply slow down and we see airlines unable to add flights where they want to because the equipment hasn't come in, it definitely shows up in where there is capacity added and where there isn't. There are routes, certainly, that airlines are hoping to fly this year and next that they are patiently waiting for their aircraft to be able to operate.
Now, I know revenge travel was the story of 2022 and 2023, people taking vacations that they could not take in 2020 and 2021. Does it seem like America and Americans have managed to work out their restlessness, or are they still in the mood to travel?
Still in the mood to travel, but I would say that pent-up demand that we saw post-pandemic, that's really run out, and we're now back to that steady growth in demand for travel that we've seen historically year over year. And travelers are looking to go to far-flung destinations, some surprising destinations that are at the top of our trending list: Norway, Finland, Argentina, as well as a lot of off-the-beaten-path destinations in Europe like Verona, Italy, the Azores, the Canary Islands. So there is demand out there. It's definitely shifting towards bucket list vacations more than anything.
Haley Berg, lead economist at Hopper in New York, thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. If you missed any part of the program, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.